here, there, and everywhere. SAFM 105.1 FM in Johannesburg.
Okay, so we hear that the country is running out of ARVs and other life-saving medicines. This is very scary. This is very, very scary. So if this is the situation, why is the government not coming out and saying there's a problem? But why is the government not coming out and saying there's no problem? Because you hear pockets of these reports in coming through from the provinces, from the regions, from KZN, from the Eastern Cape, and so on and so on. Even from the Central Depot as well, you get those kind of reports. So what is going on here? Is the country running out of ARVs? So what does this mean when you hear that at least daily, teenagers, 250 teenagers get infected with the HIV every single day, 250. Now for a country to run out of ARVs, this for me is really dangerous. I thought we had crossed this challenge as a country. We had moved away from the challenges of ARVs and so on and so on. I mean, there's a single tablet now. Back in the days, there was a what do you call it? But five or so of those pills. Now it's one pill. That's an improvement. Now even that singular pill is gone. You can't find it, people are saying. So we need to investigate this later, and of course we'll talk about it. This is the SAFM Talking Point, and thank you very much for joining us. We will talk about vasectomy later on. We'll be joined by Dr. Lance Kutsie, who's a urologist from the Urology Hospital in Pretoria. We spoke about it yesterday, and many people showed a bit of interest in it. But for now, as we're talking matters health, let's talk to Professor Mala Trinidad, who's from the University of the Western Cape. The issue here, Dr. Trinidad, is that you may be comfortable in your own skin, but did you know that there are billions of viruses sharing it too? Researchers from your university, the Western Cape's Institute for Microbial Biotechnology and Megagenomics.
Metagenomics. It's a big word.
Very big words. Just looking at the information that I have here. For instance, we're talking about bacteriophages. I'm not too sure. I'm not medical. I would not know it. But talk to us about this. We're talking about being comfortable in your own skin, but you've got other crippled things that are going on there. Bacterias. Talk to us about that.
So actually, what bacteriophages means is very simply the viruses that infect the bacteria that live on our skin. So that is the study that we undertook. We were approached a couple of years ago by L'Oreal, and they obviously are very interested and for many years have looked at understanding the role of skin microbiome in understanding the role of the microbiome on skin health. As a way to develop their products. And they approached me with a study idea. They wanted to know whether these viruses are involved in the skin and whether they're involved in regulating the microbial communities on skin. And so that was the study that we looked at. Previously, these studies have only been performed on American, European, and Asian skin studies. And so ours represents the first African and South African context.
And we're talking about 130 of these viruses. Are these good viruses? Because we know also that they are good and bad bacteria as well. So are these viruses good for your skin?
That's correct. So we don't know at this stage whether they are good or bad viruses. What we do know is that there are many, 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 many viruses, and just this one study of ours has now contributed more than 130 completely new viruses that we didn't know existed before. What is important about this is that in previous studies, in any study that has looked at human health and the microbiome, the focus has been mainly on the bacteria. So people, you know, looking at the gut or looking at the oral microbiome, they're looking at the ways that bacteria are involved in human health. And very few studies have actually looked at whether the viruses, the bacteriophages, are also contributing to human health. And so that's the context of our study. And identification of so many viruses is not really surprising, because every environment that we've looked at on Earth has identified that phages are the most predominant biological entity on Earth. But what did surprise us is that, in comparison to other studies, is that what we find is there's a very high diversity, especially at the genetic level, of these viruses. And so trying to understand what this means in terms of, you know, how this contributes to human health is many years worth of analysis still to come. But at least this is the first start in a South African context.
Is it going to help us understand, for instance, all the skin diseases that are there, including skin cancer, by the way, once you've concluded your studies?
Yes, so that's where we started. We've only looked at healthy skin at the moment, but the idea is to now compare what these communities look like in a diseased state. So, we know there are many bacteria that cause various infections or skin disorders, so like acne and dandruff, atopic dermatitis. These are all bacterial skin infections. And if we can look at whether the phages are also contributing to this, then that opens the door for us to develop vaccines or to develop different treatments or antibacterial agents for the treatment of these diseases. So that's the application part, and that's the long-term plan of the project.
It's a tall order for you, Prof, because you're dealing with different types of skins. I mean, you're talking and pigmentation as well. You're talking about an African, perhaps, who has genes and roots from Africa, from Central Africa, from Northern Africa, for instance. You may have to deal with a white South African who has a different skin from a koi and a sand skin as well. So those are the types of skins that you need to deal with, so that you have a broader understanding of what we're talking about.
Yes, so in the future we'd have to look at that in more detail. So some of the most predominant phage that we identified infects a particular bacterium, the Staphylococcus. And what is interesting is that has already been identified to be universally present. So whether it's in our African skin or whether North American or European, these phages are definitely present. And so Staphylococcus is one type of pathogen that we can focus on. So already we have enough information to move forward with that. Another interesting aspect was that in the Asian skin types, this particular phage that is so universally present has not been detected. And so that again asks question, you know, that it highlights for us, is this a cultural difference? Is this a dietary difference? Is it a geographical difference? You're right. It's going to take us many years to investigate this and establish answers for these different skin types.
But you found that, highly similar, if not identical, phages may be in operation on the skin of people who live in close geographical proximity.
Yes, so that makes sense. The way that we transfer organisms from one another, it makes sense that where you're highly populated and where you have a lot of contact, especially in the skin, which is just a surface, the skin comes into contact with a lot of environmental factors, that it makes sense that you could see such a shared diversity of these phages. Except that the same has also been shown for the gut microbiome and oral microbiome. So, again, we don't quite understand what it means, but this is a first look into starting that investigation.
Yeah, how far are you into this research?
No, we're very, very, very early on. So in terms of the skin, we are. It is far behind some of the other human health areas. So the gut, of course, has been studied for many years. The oral microbiome and the vaginal microbiome has also been studied. So the skin is lagging far behind. And also we have reported many findings, but the field is constantly evolving and constantly changing in the way that we are able to assess this. So, you know, the methods that we use is constantly changing. And as we improve the technology and we improve bioinformatics and computational capacity, our ability to do this research improves as well.
Yeah. So, what kind of information that you have been able to collate and collect so far? Can it make for a particular decision? For instance, what are you submitting to L'Oréal?
So, as a follow-up study, we now have. So, we were particularly interested in this staphylococcus phage that seems to be universally present. So, staphylococci cause a variety of skin disorders. So, we have already isolated this phage that we identified in the primary study. We have now, in the laboratory, we have isolated it. We are identifying how widely it infects other bacteria, because the idea is to now develop it as a phage, as a possible phage therapy for the treatment of staphylococcus infections. So that is the work that is ongoing in the laboratory at the moment, as an example.
Okay, I didn't get this one right. What are metagenomics anyway?
So microbiology is the field of isolating and understanding microorganisms, so fungi, bacteria, and their viruses. And what we now understand through metagenomics is that only 1% of the total microbial diversity on Earth is actually studyable. Sorry, I'm not sure that's a word. The reason being is that these microorganisms, because of the environments that they live, have very specific conditions or requirements for their growth. And what we can replicate in the laboratory doesn't always replicate well their natural environment. And so actually less than 1% of these microorganisms can be cultured and studied in a laboratory setting. And what metagenomics enables us to do is to study their genome, their genetic makeup, their genetic information, without having to culture these organisms. And through that, we've been able to see that the diversity of these microorganisms is vastly, vastly bigger than what we have previously understood. And through this, next-generation sequencing, we've been able to really come to understand what the diversity of the microorganisms have and what their potential function is. And so there's still many years we're actually looking at in a laboratory, in an experimental setting, trying to really understand what we can see at the genetic level, trying to understand the biology.
All right. Thank you very much, Professor Trindade. We hope to talk to you soon when you are advanced in your research.
Thank you very much.
Highly appreciated. I will try and get around this one, metagenomics. Why am I getting it so wrong? Okay. She explained it. So it's cool. Professor Mala Trindade is from the University of the Western Cape. We'll be talking about diversity in engineering in South Africa and what does it mean. Stephen Kaplan is the COO at the South African Institute of Civil Engineering in South Africa. It's 10:45. This is SAFM Talking Point.